Douglas music. It's really bring me up. And today on the Douglas Radio, as usual, we have a lot of interesting friends and a lot of interesting guests. And as usual, it's became now our tradition. I have a celebrity trainer from UK. He has a Russian heritage, but I love him for many other assets besides that.
What? What?
He's just a great trainer, and Dima. Dima, are you with us?
I am, yes, certainly.
Yes, thank you, Dima, for your time. You know, interesting enough, with Dima, we see eye to eye almost nothing. Zero when it comes to the dog training. But there is something we probably see a lot in common. I'm talking about taking care of our pets, grooming. Dima, do you groom your dog on your own?
Yes, like, certainly. I have a full-time staff that do that as well, but obviously I'm the one to be there every day, and yes, I do it myself.
You're the big guy, and I guess you train to do so. Listen, I never do myself the grooming to my dog as far as cutting nails. I've seen so much problems when some of my clients did something wrong. And, you know, I just want professionals taking care of their pets and not the general folks go and do the certain things and have to pay the price. People, one time you cut that dog nail, you have a bleeding, you're not going to be petrified for life. With all that say, I have a great, great pleasure to introduce to my listeners really big celebrity groomer.
I bring the great examples.
By name, Hordake Berdovsky. I'm so sorry. I know it's such a big crime in America when you mispronounce the first and even last name. Hordake, how can I pronounce your name properly?
Well, it's almost there. My name is Jorge Berdovsky, but it is clear enough.
Okay. Look, this guy was all over America. He was on Today Show, ABC Nightline. He was on Entertaining Channel, E! News, Morning Show with Mike and Juliette, Today Show. I can go on and on. That guy's awesome. I'm not sure what is so special about your talent, what about your personality, unless I saw his show. He really knows what he's doing. Look, it's my great pleasure to have you. And you know what? We spoke with you 5 minutes prior to the show, and I have to tell you, I just love you. If you would be a woman, I would marry you. I really would.
Well, I have bad news for you. You cannot marry me, but I will be more than happy to talk about dogs.
Okay, let's talk about the dogs. And I'm going to put you, you know how it goes, you know, you get celebrities, and I have the same red carpet treatment when I go on different shows, and they ask you about background and things like this. We're going to do vice versa. We're going to first put you through the test, and after that, we're going to talk about the background. So let me ask you, Maminta, I would like you to give to my listeners grooming tips for my three favorite breeds. And I'm not sure, Dima, which one you love, but I would love to start with German Shepherd.
All right.
Okay, let me just tell you that, and Dima will agree, grooming is training. You know, the same way that we train the dog how to walk on the leash, how to go to the bathroom outside, we need to train the dog what grooming is and what are the benefits. If the dog knows that after a good brush, he's going to go outside and play, so he will be happy to get his hair done. So let's start by saying that. My second tip that goes to any breed, grooming is like dancing a tango. You have to sync your heart with the dog. What that means is you cannot just grab his leg and pull it to your side to clip his nails. You need to work like it's all like a wake. I always say grooming doesn't have sharp angles. Everything has to flow naturally. You move with your dog so he feels that you're working as a team. Once that you start with a little massage, and then it's when you start brushing.
It's almost like a lady, you know, but Hercule, let's get to the specific. This is my German Shepherd. she stinks because she's supposed to, she's wrong, she's very sweaty, and she's chasing cats and rabbits, whatever, okay? What the brush you would use, what the soap, what is your favorite stuff? Because I have to ask you about a bunch of things. So let's do two phrases for each. German Shepherd, go.
Okay, as a slicker brush, because the dog have a double coat, and the good idea is to mist it with water a little bit because before you brush it, because hair is elastic. So that will help to the brush to run smoother and pull out all the dead coat. And remember, when a dog is not huggable, it's time to give him a bath. So only the brush is not going to do it.
Cool. Number two would be... Dima, you would love? I love standard poodle. I really would. I really love that breed. I would myself own one, but there is a certain factor in SoCal involved in Southern California when the man is owning poodle. I will not go into that. But tell me, please, Hardoke, how would you groom standard poodle?
A standard poodle have a single coat. That means that it's much easier to keep. Besides, you can do tons of different haircuts to make it practical with your lifestyle. They look good with short hair. They look fabulous with long hair. Remember, if you shave down a poodle, their body is almost identical to a Doberman Pinscher. So it's not really that feminine of a looking dog. So the pain of the haircut is how the dog is going to look. But, again, you use a larger or pin brush or a slicker brush, and be sure you always brush from the roots out, just to be sure that the hair is totally brushed out.
Got it. You know, I love standard poodle because he remind me Dima. They're very smart. You know, if you ever had chance to meet a graduate from Harvard University, and what university you graduated? Krakow? It's Dima?
No, it was a Kharkov uni, and I did study at a couple of other establishments also. But yes. No, it's a teachers uni in Kharkov.
Oh, you, wonderful. You sound like you're in my room right now, and the doc even look at me and say, okay, I mean, Dima is in UK or where he is. Yes, you're right, and you even did some PhD study too. So, yeah, poodles, I love poodles. And let's talk about the last one pretty quick. It is a Portuguese water dog. You know, here in Southern California, if you have a Portuguese water dog, it's like you're having Mercedes. This is like a Barack Obama, American president, if someone from you doesn't know.
I was wondering, yes, whether it's a recent thread just since his presidentship.
Yeah, this is an amazing dog. I trained them a lot in Russian army, Dima, to retrieve some object from the, like a diver's dog, and for rescue operations. So I'm sure you had a great experience with that breed too. I love that the Portuguese water dog. And any grooming tips for Portuguese water dog?
The Portuguese water dog has a very oily coat because, like the name say, it's a breed that spends a lot of time in the water. So it is very important to really have a brush out because they get matted easier than any other breed. And a lot of times, they are not dogs that like to be dematted. So training is the best tip for grooming them. They need to learn how to be groomed. They need to learn since they are puppies because their coat
is very high. I told you I would marry you if you were the woman. I mean, you're just telling exactly what I would like to hear. It. Training is the first. Training is the key to open the doors for everything. To make sure your veterinarian love your dog, make sure your groomer, famous groomer like Herdeke, would love your dog to have it, yes? Because he's not going to bite you. He's not going to say, rrr, like a Shih Tzu and Lhasa Apso or Sharpeys or Chow Chow or some of those breeds. Can be very nasty, am I right?
Yeah, but remember that what basically training is letting the dog know that you're going to work with him as a partner, that you're going to take care of him. That's what training is. Being able to communicate with your dog. Let them know what you expect.
If you don't train your dog will train you.
So beautifully put. Really smashing.
Yeah,
very nicely said.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what we love him. Hey, could you tell us very quickly, did you start to, I heard you from my KGB sources, you started to be the groomer from the age of 5, you found that talent in you, but I'm just wondering how at the age of 5 years old somebody let you hold the scissors or whatever. I mean, it just, but you found that talent in you very early?
I grew up in Argentina, and my aunt had a breed dog, and that was always my passion. Just go and learn how to brush Pekingese and Shih Tzus. And when I moved to the States, I didn't speak any English. So the natural thing was to turn my hobby into a profession. And in Argentina, I was one of the youngest judges. I became a dog judge, and I study a lot about dogs. They are my passion. I love dogs, and I love to be able to work. When they say that I'm a celebrity, I just say that I'm just lucky enough to have a bigger voice to talk about and teach on how to have a better relationship with your
dog. Wow. What is the nice guy? It's not like me, because my mom always kept telling me that I'm not going to die for one thing, for self-modesty. But you achieved much more than I've done, and you're such a modest guy. Thank you so much for being on the show and your time. We're running out. A lot of interesting things is coming up. We're going to talk with the Dima how we escape from the Soviet curtains, from the Iron Curtains, from the Soviet Union, and how we establish our business in America. This is the Doglish Radio. You can contact us, Doglish Radio, Facebook, or many other ways to contact us through BBS Radio Network. This is the Vladi, and this is the Doglish Radio. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
Listening to this is the Doglish Radio. It's me, Larry, Russian Dog Wizard, and I have a celebrity dog trainer from UK, Dima, and very fascinating guest. She's a world-renowned animal communicator, Asia Voigt, and I have a great person who just called us to ask about her dog. And her name is Jessica, and she has a dog, Pitbull mix. Who is good? You know how people say, oh, my dog is a good, you know? And after they're adding, yes, most of the time. Yes, Dima?
Well, usually I do the other way around. People are saying, oh, he's such a disaster. I'm looking at the dog. I just don't really see anything wrong with the dog.
You see, who with Dima don't agree about anything, even on that.
No, that wasn't the intention.
I know. But maybe it's you in UK, Dima. Here in America, especially in California, people don't start like that. They say, Vladi, I have a wonderful dog. Maybe because I would not charge them more than I should. I have an amazing dog, but he bit someone by the penis, or he bit someone by the butt. Or
if you lost common sense in relationship with your dog, I will bring that common sense back to you. Am I right, Mika?
Good girl. Whatever. He did something. He has separation. Yeah. But he's a great dog. I mean, he's attacking my mother-in-law. He beat her. I guess it's mother-in-law fault, you know, like all problems in the world because mother-in-law. But let's go to our segment. So the Jessica has a pit bull mix, and her dog is, according to what she says, is a great dog. But sometimes that dog, when he's in the backyard, he's growling, barking, and even snapped a few people. And she just rescued that dog. And she want to know what is the background of that dog and what is in his mind. And I have a person, Asia Voigt, who she really has that crystal ball and X-ray vision. And she just got connected to that dog. And she's asking Jessica some additional questions.
I have a pit bull mix. I got him from a guy who was, like, fighting his dog. He's about 4.5, almost 5. He has this problem where he just barks. He gets really aggressive when they come to the house. There's been a couple times where he had just nipped some, like a man.
I hope he didn't nip his private part, because I had one caller, he said he bit someone by the penis.
We could detonate that dog remotely.
And it was a 35 stitches.
Do you hear that?
This is the Douglas Radio. I mean, nobody can put condom on my microphone. I say everything. So to me, the situation is simple. That dog's just ass needs to be kicked. Asia is trying to get connection to your dog's soul, I guess, right now.
Jessica, I have connected with JD, and I'm having he's coming forward and connecting with me telepathically. And okay. So as he's coming forward, he really doesn't even know how to greet me. Like, he authentically just doesn't know. Part of him feels like he should be tucking his tail and running and hiding. Another part of him feels like he should bark at me, and he's doing all of this. And he's barking, and then he's kind of looking away like, should I run? And then he's being submissive. He honestly doesn't know what to do. And so I'm telling him, first of all, it's okay to relax. And that is something that JD doesn't know, and he doesn't understand that, because the beginning of his life was full of either sleeping. He shows me like a very small home or crate that he was kept in most of the time. So he's either like hiding in this little house, sound asleep by himself, or he was super revved up. And it was one extreme or the other. So the really first thing I'm going to tell him, and that you can continue to tell him, Jessica, and show him pictures of this. This is how animals really start to understand telepathically, and that your words and your pictures match. So I'm sending him the energy. I'm showing him pictures of just relaxing. He just doesn't get that unless he's either kind of sound asleep or hiding. That's the only way he knows how. When he's out and about, he doesn't understand that he can relax, because it was always intense drive before. So that is the first thing. I would also really recommend working with a behaviorist or a trainer to guide you, because JD is showing me when he gets upset, you get upset.
Your dog is not bad. You just need Vlad.
And he's trying to look to you for some guidance, but you're not quite as confident in the situation. So if you had another person there to give you confidence, Jessica, it would start to change the spiral of fear and negative behavior and help teach him, this is how you're a dog. You are a house dog now. This is what a house dog does. It's relaxed, you're balanced, and you're friendly.
And Dima, you are the behaviorist. You even was on PhD program. What would you add to this?
There's an interesting thing I just read today, that good dog trainers call themselves trainers. You know, bad ones call themselves behaviorists. So with that in mind, I'm just kind of taking aback a bit. All right, okay, we can talk about dogs. No, very good comments. I really loved what you said. Yes, fantastic. If something can get through to this dog, yes, it will have to be with the owner's help. And yes, fantastic, very professional advice.
Yeah, the other thing that I would also recommend, too, is I use a lot of alternative therapies in my work. And one of them I've seen a lot of great success with dogs that it's like their nervous system has been damaged. And flower essences or essential oils or herbs, chiropractic, massage, body work can all really help JD rebalance his body and learn how to just be a confident, soothed pet in Jessica's household.
And I believe it. Okay. I really do. I believe in aromatherapy. In Russia, as you know, Dima, we used a lot of untraditional methods long ago in the Soviet Union, you know.
They were traditional at that time. Yes, again, 100% with you on that one. Asia. Yes, fantastic. I do recommend a lot of this stuff myself. And yes, we could be working with you easily.
Yes.
A lot of the distance.
But I would believe that Jessica just simply needs to be the bitch.
What? What?
You know, she needs to be the... Being bitch is not enough. She got to be the alpha bitch. In other words, she needs... You know why? Because your dog's mother was the bitch. You know, if you will provide strict
leadership and strict directions, especially in the time when your dog is insecure. You show leadership, which is Asia said to you in the positive way, and I say it as it is. So you basically, it's called competing of stimuluses. You basically, dog now is focused on you more than focused about the stranger. So once the dog is focused on you, he will be unfocused on that stranger. You're becoming more primary focus, you're becoming more territorial than the stranger comes in. In this situation, you turn, it's called contra-conditioning, you turn the things around, you're giving that stranger, let's say, piece of American cheese, which, as we know, deem a fool with preservatives and all that junk. It's not because the Russians will never say anything good about Americans. Well, that's maybe true, too. No, that's true. But you can have a Polish kolbasa or something like that, so the dog would love it. And make sure, ask everyone, who, especially you need to have just a lot of men in your life. Bring them in. Make sure they're giving, they're a good news bringer. They're the good cops. You're the bad cops. Play in that game. Everything, and do obedience training. Things going to get settled. But thank you, Jessica, for your call. Asia, you're awesome. You know what to say. You just exactly said what I
bring the great examples.
Right, and I've worked with a lot of dogs that have aggressive behavior, and they've worked with trainers, and I think it's important that all of us have important parts to, you know, traditional veterinarians, alternative therapy, animal communicators. It's really important to use all these aspects to bring together a healthy pet, a healthy animal companion into your home. And the last thing, if Jessica is still listening, that I do a lot of energetic clearing on animals. And so normally for my appointments, I have at least a half hour or an hour. And we could go back in time and help clear out. I have techniques that I've been using over the last 15 years that I've been working professionally to clear out the past trauma. And very quickly after we do that, we start to see the animals relaxing within a few days, within a week, a very short period of time, so that just like people who have, you know, kind of like therapy and clearing out, can do the same things with animal companions.
And I believe in that. How can people get in touch with you? What is your website?
Yeah, my website is my name, and that is Asia, it's A-S-I-A, and then Voigt, V as in Victor, O-I-G-H-T.com. So Asia Voigt. com, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and I would love to hear from you. And on my website, I have a free gift for those who are interested in learning more about communicating with animals.
And you're also author of two amazing books, which you wrote, could you name them?
Yes, I'm in two compilation books, Pearls of Wisdom, 30 Inspirational Ideas to Live Your Best Life Now, and that's with Jack Canfield. And then I have Extraordinary You, which is about living your most lusciously spirited, passionate life. And that would be great. And anyone listening in the Texas area, Austin, Texas, I'm speaking next weekend at a conference called Be the Change in Austin, Texas. That information's on my website about transforming and living your best life.
Wonderful. And we're going to put all information about you on VBS Radio Network. Our listeners can find all those links to the books, to your website. Great guest, great advice, great tips. Asia, thank you so much for your time. We are rolling. We're going to have a lot of interesting things today. We're going to talk next with Dima how we escaped together from the Soviet Union, from the Soviet curtains, and it's you're not going to miss it.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
Speaking about dogs, you know, I do invented the dog training method by name Douglash. And I do believe, I don't know, I'm not sure, Dima, how it's in UK, but here, you know, in America, people using the word no so many times, so the most people in this country believe the word no is their nickname. I kind of think, you know, in UK something similar, yeah?
I guess so. Well, yeah, in here, we actually try to teach the dogs to speak human language.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But anyway, right now with us, you know, every time we have something very special, and we have a dog expert from all over the world. And today we have a big, and I would say truly celebrity dog trainer from Australia. His name is Steve Austin.
Steve Austin.
Steve, welcome to the Doglish Radio. How are you? What time is there?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show, Vlad. It's a real honour, and it's 5 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday morning here in Sydney. Very nice day. Just moving into summer at the moment here in Sydney, Australia.
Okay, I think it's a 5 o'clock. Oh my gosh, it's the time when in Russia we don't even drink the vodka. It's so early, Dima. Yeah.
Well, maybe. I might have a couple with you after the show, I think, Vlad, if it's all right with you.
Okay,
late for us. My pizza is getting cold.
but I'm so excited with you guys. Let me grab the sip right now as we speak. Okay, what date is today, Doc? What we doing? Okay, we're doing the show. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, Steve, you know, I would like to ask you first about your fascinating dog training method. As we all know, two trainers can agree on one thing, that the third trainer is wrong. That is why with Dima, we love each other on the personal level, but on professional level, you know, he thinks I'm in the right extreme, and I believe he's the left extreme. And, you know, we're never going to get that, like I would say, that balance in our conversation with him. I would like to give you a concrete question because, you know, we can talk about all this positive punishment, negative punishment, and basically confuse the people because general folks, they don't really care about them. They don't understand them. They just want to resolve the issue.
Sure.
And let's talk about a concrete example. Let's say we have a Labrador Retriever. Labrador Retriever, if you guys know, and we call them among us professionals, Dumb Lab. The reason we call him, not because he's dumb, they're smart dogs. Because, you know, you can show that cookie to the lab, and he say, okay, give me that cookie, and he's going to go with you. Show it to my German Shepherd, Mika. Or she say, excuse me, why don't you have your way? Or I have a guy training right now, one lab. He jumps in my van with the closed door, you believe it or not.
I bring the great examples, and those examples people can relate.
You know, bump his head into this door, you know, jumps back, sit down, looks around as he tells me, I'm so sorry, I was thinking the door was open. And my German Shepherd, Mika, look at him and say, what is your stupid lab? I mean, don't you see it's closed? I would never do that. So how would you would react to this situation? So the pet owner comes home and that lab jumping on him all over. See, before you give me answer, I have to tell you, I don't know, will you like or not, but my friend Dima, a personal friend, but we don't see the things with him eye to eye when it comes to the dog training. You know, he advised me that in this situation, or he advised some of my listeners in the past, so you have to hire a pet sitter who would come into your home and a little bit exercise that lab and in hope that you absorb his little bit physical energy, and so he's not going to jump on the people so much. And Dima called that approach creative, and I told him, look, in America, if you're not going to fix the thing, in a few days, the dog will be in the shelter. If you cannot lead your dog will lead you. What would your approach would be in this situation?
Well, what I would do clearly and concisely, first of all, and very clearly steps, I would teach that dog, that Labrador, what sit means. I would use a continuous reward system. Now, in the first instance, whether it's a food reward or a ball reward or a pat or a tickle under the ear, it's quite irrelevant what reward it is because the dog must decide what it is. The dog must decide what reward it is. So clearly, distinctly, I would teach the dog that when I say sit, A, it's good for you to sit. B, there's no option. You are going to sit. And once I install that into the dog, not only in his house, but anywhere I tell him to, then as I come home, and I would preempt the error of him jumping on me, I would tell him to sit, and then I would start to use a variable reward system. So sometimes he beats rewarded and sometimes he's not, and develop that. And then, depending on the dog's temperament, and that's really important as far as I'm concerned, because I train dogs for many agencies here in Australia and around the world. I've got dogs down at Antarctica. I've got I train dogs for search and rescue here for the New South Wales government. That's terrorism, earthquake and tsunami. But before I would correct the dog, I would clearly make sure he understands what I want, or reward that behavior. And then if at some time he doesn't do what he's told, that is jump on me, I would use a correction, be it a positive or a negative correction, depending on the temperament of that dog, and clearly make the consequences clear to that dog what he has to do.
Okay, agree with you. But this is the no-spin zone, Steve. I hope you understand. This is the straight talk. So you started, you're finished. Tell me, please, okay, you did everything beyond and above. That dog, you know, lap is still jumping, and he is a bulletproof. Now you need to correct him. So how would you correct him? Tell me, how would you correct him?
Well, first of all, before I would correct him, I'd look at myself and I'd say, what have I done wrong? Because obviously I've done something wrong. I'm sure that I've done everything right and readdressed my methods and looked at them, and then the dog is still jumping on me. If he was a really strong male, two-year-old male outgoing dog, every time he'd jump on me, I would correct him with the check chain or a martingale collar, depending on the temperament of the dog, I would correct him. I have no hesitation. If I haven't failed and if the dog just continues to be belligerent, I have no hesitation of using a positive punishment so the jumping ceases.
If you lost common sense in relationship with your dog, I will bring that common sense back to you. Am I right, Mika? Good girl!
What? Just tell me. Larry, I will put the pinch collar on him. I will snap the leash. Larry, I will use electronic collar. Larry, I will use the throwing, the keychain, or shaking cans, or air spray device, or taser. Tell me how.
Well, in the first instance, I would use a correction method of the check chain. And if I
what
was
is that? What is that?
A check chain, a slip collar, a slip chain. Well, what a lot of people call the choke chain.
What?
Which is the wrong name for it. It's called a check chain. But also, too, I would get the owner to do it. I would get the owner to be there and to make him understand what he's got to do, and I would be the stranger coming in. And I would set the dog up so that he has to understand that clearly and concisely. But remembering, too, that if the dog does the right thing, he must be clearly rewarded as well. So it's a division of consequences. If the Labrador does something correct, he is rewarded clearly. If the dog does something wrong, and I've taught him what to do, but for some reason the dog doesn't want to do it, then consequently the dog is corrected clearly and distinctly.
If you don't train your dog will train you.
I use all the tools that are given to me for usage in training of a dog. I have no hesitation of using a positive punishment, that's giving a dog a correction, or a negative punishment, that means taking something away from the dog when it does something wrong. I would definitely teach the Labrador to sit and stay. That would be my first thing, and reward that behavior and get the dog to understand what it means. Second point, I would come home and I'll tell the dog repeatedly to sit and stay and reward it, tennis ball, food, whatever turns that dog on. However, if after a number of events and the dog still jumps on me, I would use a punishment method, either a positive, a correction, or a negative, or take something off the dog, like lock the dog up or put the dog in a sin bin. However, the temperament of the dog would dictate to me clearly what method I would use. If it's a big, old-fashioned, in-your-face Labrador, probably a positive punishment. If it's a quiet, timid dog, and some Labradors are, and not many, but some, I would use more of a negative punishment.
Sit. Stay. The Russian Dog Wizard will be right back. You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
Right now with us, we have a dog expert. His name is Steve Austin.
Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
In Australia, we have snakes, and we have the most deadliest snake in the world. It's called an inland taipan. A lot of my conservation work, I work in the areas in Australia where no one goes. It's a lot of conservation work. And if my dogs go near snakes and the snake bites me or the dog, we're dead. Dead.
Dead.
Dead. Dead. Yeah, not sick. Not ill. We are dead within 30 seconds. Dead.
So when I come with that situation, I will always use a positive correction when my dogs go near snakes. And that's another issue where you would decide on the correction on the consequences of what might occur if the dog goes near a snake, as opposed to the dog jumping up on you. So I always balance my approaches to look at them, consequences of what will happen if the dog does an error, and the temperament of the dog. I would decide on what punishment and what method I would use.
Thank you, Stephen. I will tell the listeners the way how I would do it, but I would like to first hear what the Dima would say. Dima, how would you correct that lab without hiring someone to exercise the dog? That's not going to work in America, I have to tell you. Maybe in UK.
It certainly would, and I would certainly exploit all the alternative remedies. I would probably try and use any of those DAP collars, massage, talking to the dog, and just what you heard from the animal communicator. A fantastic thinking tools without allowing for any mistakes there.
Here's how I think.
When the Vladi talks, everyone is listening.
No one knows better than the dog's mother how to train and its own puppy. Doggy's mother has two tools to reinforce her rules. She has the teeth to bite. She has her tongue to lick. This is how the way she's saying yes and no. And she does it even in two, three, four weeks puppies. She just bites them differently. She knows her puppies. And if the puppy is biting her nipples too hard, she may be nipped one, she may be bite another one, but she really escalates. She really get her point across. So whatever tools we're using, you can use them, I would not say in humane way, I would say in canine way, caninely, not humanely. But that's what my approach is.
I bring the great examples.
So I think that Dima, he's like, I see he's typing me from UK is already, he wants to jump in and say that I'm wrong. So, Dima, you heard the question. You heard the Stephen. Tell me the story.
I heard the answer. Steve was talking about being proactive, and that's the point that has to be made crystal clear. Yes, you have to build up the relationship. You have to build up the understanding. You have to pre-train that dog to maybe sit or stay. Without that, yes, you're trying to solve the problem head to head, and that's like banging against a brick wall at times. And sometimes looking at something this simplistic, meeting people at the door, is far too much for some of those owners and some of those dogs that cannot accomplish the basics of, interspecies relationship. That's where everybody of us will start. I'm sure you would also take this dog out and spend some time just building up that simple, do this when I ask you to and follow me through, that kind of temptation. And then you would be approaching the problem whilst the dog already has some kind of a way through the problem, so how to deal with it, how to follow your instructions established. This is where, we all have to be starting. And, of course, then the four quadrants available there, yes, it would be silly not to use those. But that's when you're looking at something that has already been pre-built and maybe just cracking at certain elements.
We could detonate that dog remotely.
the hand feeding is one of those techniques that just simply cannot not work. I mean, the dog that refuses the, you know, to comply and missing out on the rewards is just simply a stupid dog. There is no such a thing. And especially talking about the Labradors, you will have a fairly good percentage of that success. The rate of that accomplished and successful seat will be really high. Yes, those occasions when it's not working and it's not coming together, I certainly would also apply the corrections the same way as Steve explained. I would get eaten alive using a check chain in this country, though. So a check chain, $3,
$7.
Yes, just it's a completely no-no. It's a big issue here, and I wouldn't even be talking or associating with anything to do with the chains. Guys, with all my respect, it's not the wrong tool, but people who are using them in this country are usually the ones with an awful timing, with absolutely, you know, lack of understanding of the dogs and the dog training. So sending those tools into the wrong households is a horrendous risk. For the animal welfare, they probably do lots more damage than help. So I would be helping the people in trouble with lots of alternative solutions. And on the top of everything, I saintly believe in habituation training. You know, this short, you know, tethering lead attached to the ballad somewhere sort of down the corridor, or, you know, a little lead which you will be stepping on, will be such a help to establish the good behavior on the top of the reward-based techniques. So there is a good chance you will eliminate the problem without having to resolve the correction, you know, at all.
Your dog is not bad. You just need Vlad. Wow. Dima, you know, I loved you before. I love you even now, because what you just told me, the way you're training the dogs in UK, it's by analogy, like a swimmer. Like if I would tie your hands in the back and after pushed you into the water and make you to swim, and you somehow survive, and you somehow became such as famous back there, you're resolving the problems. I definitely would recommend the people look at your book. What is the name of the book? No, I'm serious.
It's called Dima's Dog School, and it's the only hand feeding book that goes into ins and outs and the sort of pluses and minuses of training using positives as the 99.9% of everything you do with your dog.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I am pretty sure you have to be as creative as the Russian wife in the Soviet Union who could make the soup with three ingredients, which is potato and water. You know, it's just amazing. But look, guys, here's what we're going to do with you right now. We're going to go for commercial break because, you know, somebody needs to pay for that airtime. And when we come back, I will tell the listeners what I would do to that dumb lab to stop him from jumping. And after that, we would go to the real caller. And I would ask you, both of you guys, to respond to the real caller. And I think we're going to continue to have a fun. This is the Doglish Radio. A lot of things is coming up. Please don't go anywhere else. Stay tuned.
People speak English, Spanish, or any other human language. The man you're about to meet speaks Doglish.
We've never met anyone who claimed to be able to talk to a dog. That is until we met an unusual dog trainer named Vladi.
The Russian Dog Wizard is on the air.
Now it is my intake. I think we all agree on the first part. We have to teach first. We have to teach the dog behavior we want them to perform. For instance, in this situation, that lab who is jumping all over, you know, most people teach him sit. Well, in Russia, we teach him go to the dog bed. We teach him place command. Now, where disagreement comes. How to enforce it? Really, what to do if this lab looking in your eyes and just say, screw you, together with your American cheese or Russian kielbasa, I'm going to jump on you anyway. So, will I turn my back away and just try to withdraw my attention in hope he will stop jumping? No. Will I try to withdraw expected rewards saying, scientifically or putting in the simple language, you know, I'm not going to give him cookie if he jumps on me. Of course I will not. It's not going to work. Will I put the dog in timeout? No. I want to get him out of me, of my clients, and now. How? Well, if the dog is jumping while he's on leash, let's send the neighbor Cassie, you know, who may be whore, but she's knocking your door and just, you know, and come at any given time or meeting you on the streets with her crazy dog who is just agitating your dog and your dog is all over. So what? You gotta snap the leash with appropriate collar. I definitely is not going to use regular collar or choke collar or slip collar because to me they looks very nice, but they are very, can be damaging to the dog. Well, if the dog is jumping on visitors or on you when you come home off leash, what you gonna do? Well, I would use dog leash first. I would move forward because invasion personal space, like a lean forward means assertiveness. And I would use the canine sound of disapproval. Ah, and maybe clap my hands at the same time, just like that. Ah, and move forward, look in the dog's eyes, invade in the space, and freeze. Freezing means if you don't stop, I will bite you. That will really get the dog attention. Well, you can use different gadgets. You can use a pet convincer, pet corrector, so many things. But it all comes to one simple thing, people. Correct, redirect, and praise. This would be my approach. I would never go with approach like redirect and praise, which was discussed by my friend Dima, who I love, because this is almost suggestion to turn the wheel on the race car without pushing on the brake. No, we push the brake, we can after redirect the vehicle by turning the wheel, we can add the gas and we can go. Correct, redirect, the brake, snap, sit, good girl, good boy, in the high pitch, and you can give after that American cheese or Russian kielbasa as reward and not as the bribe. Oh, I like how I said today. Sometimes I say smart things. This is the Douglas Radio. This is Douglas Radio with Vladi, the Russian Dog Wizard. And if you are with us up to this point, you saw a lot of interesting guests coming to the show. And if you listen previous segment, we have very, controversial interactions with two famous trainers. One is right now sitting in UK. And another one in Sydney, Australia. And you know, three trainers come together, talk about certain things. We're just arguing and fighting, but we do it in a professional way because we love each other on the personal level. And all of us in this business with one goal, to help our pet owners, to get them in the better harmony in the relationship with our pets. But we have our own ways, we have its own clientele, and what even we learn from the Dima that in UK, and I'm going to keep him from trouble because, you know, he's Russian, you know, otherwise I would, yeah, I don't want to have him any trouble. And he asked me, he even typing right now, Vladi, please keep me away from troubles. And you know, so I don't want to, we're not going to, basically what he said, we're not using any electronic collars, any pinch collars, and he even said slip collars in UK. And Stephen talked me just from Australia. He is the famous dog trainer in Australia.
And he told, and he worked, he'd done so much work and for police department, search and rescue, and agencies, federal agencies, and did some work for movie. And he just told me that, you know, he would use, and he mentioned sleep color as the ultimate punishment, whatever he said. But to me, myself, you guys probably would, I don't know, you would be very surprised to hear it. I would never use choke collar or slip collar, because I've seen even incorrect hands, that can be a quite dangerous weapon because it put pressure on one area in trochea. And I believe a regular collar, which is buckle collar, even a more dangerous thing because it's hitting the dog flat. A lot of my friends veterinarians showed me x-ray. It was a lot of blue and black in the neck area of the dogs who were pulling them tremendously, you know, by the regular collar. So I do use the pinch collar, and I use just a German version if I need to. And I believe it's a very safe, very humane device. I don't need to create any pressure. But the way I use it, I don't use the yank. I use a very sophisticated way, reverse directions, and using my fingers, almost like a doggy mama teeth. And I basically do very interesting maneuvers, almost like spanking the leash with my fingers, which on its own creating that biting effect around the dog's neck. Give it a try at BBS Radio. BBS. 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 Go ahead, Zima.
Vlad, just for information purposes, in Wales, which is one third of the sort of our sort of country, those collars are made illegal and they would lead to criminal prosecution as for now. And this law is coming in, for both covering the UK and Scotland, pretty soon, I hope. So it's not that we have our hands tied. I think it's actually for the good of the dogs and the dog owners in this country. There are other means that we are exploiting, and God, in the last few years, this reward-based training just kicked in. There's so many wonderful trainers getting the dogs to do the most amazing things, you know, apart from just sitting by the door and greeting strangers. And thanks God for that. The dog training is changing, and I think UK is probably coming at the very top of that movement.
Hello. Does anybody hear this broadcast?
You know, Jim, in Russia we say, do not rediscover America. Do not reinvent the wheel. And nothing going to work as well as the doggy mother nature. Like I said, doggy mama bite, doggy mama lick. It's up to us humans how to create corrections. Do it in humane way or do it in canine way. I belong to the organization of International Association of Canine Professionals. We will stand up for all our professionals across the globe in order so in United States that type of the law would never come here, because I do believe it's going to be harming our animals. Because with all my respect to you and to all trainers who are using those methods, probably 60-70% of my clients coming to me, it was extreme aggression and things like this when they tried everything and they try all those methods and it doesn't work. And again, I'm not type of the guy who is using
Vlad, not blaming you, and I believe in your hands the same as in mine. It probably would be a good tool to use, but what we're talking about, the mass production and mass sort of distribution of those colors, and that's when the things get tricky.
I believe searching colors should never be...
No one in this country believes in education of the dog owners for some reason, and that is such a slow process, so a lot of people are after sort of more advanced and quicker tools, something that would give them that result tomorrow. And yes, unfortunately, this is where you will see the potential danger.
And Dima, I agree with you so much, Dima, because education and knowledge is so important. A lot of people ask me, who is a good dog trainer? Who is it? And the first thing I say is look at their dogs. Look at their dogs that they own. Look at their dogs that they train. Let the dog tell you what a good dog trainer is. Every single dog I own, every single dog I've trained wants to work, wants to please me or please my handlers. They are a joy to have around. They have drive and enthusiasm. And if and the tools that I use are always humane. They're always a method to get the dog to do it with drive and attitude. But with that comes responsibility and education.
Yeah.
And education is critical. I mean, any tool, like a baseball bat or a cricket bat, in the wrong hands can be extremely detrimental to a dog.
Emma, guys,
does that mean that we should ban cricket bats and baseball bats?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I just would like to add that even plastic knife can be extremely dangerous in the wrong hands.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Guys, but this is the UK. UK is not friendly with the common sense, I'm afraid. So, yes, so we're not talking about it. They will ban the cricket bat from here, I believe, soon.
Well, the three of us, and people like us must educate people on the joys and the positive joys and see, to me, dog training is an art form. It's not just a science. I get very annoyed at people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. I am sick and tired of hearing people get up and talk out of a textbook and say, and then you say, how many dogs have you trained? Oh, I don't own a dog. Oh, I only train two dogs. Well, I've trained thousands of dogs, and 3/4 of them have come from shelters. And I've trained them to find narcotics, to find people, to find quarantine items, to find concert. I got dogs in Africa at the moment, in Namibia, training. I've trained dogs to find cheetah scat and poachers. I've got dogs down in Antarctica cleaning up islands from feral animals. But I like to listen to people that can actually do it. But unfortunately, a lot of people talk the talk, but they don't get in there and actually train dogs. And if you actually train a dog, you know clearly and concisely it's not the tools, it's how to use the tools that is really important.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
Steven, in your area, in New Zealand, excuse me, in Australia, and I guess in New Zealand too, is it the same crime to use the pinch collars, electronic collars, or any collars in order to, like a slip collars, in order to correct the dog?
In some states of Australia, it's illegal to use a electric collar, and some states you can. In some states you can use the pinch collar, and some states you can't. We are at a bit of a turning point. We have found in Australia that positive reinforcement only is a complete failure. It doesn't work. Complete failure. I mean, but when people say I use positive reinforcement, I have never seen a dog trained with positive reinforcement only in my life. I've been training dogs for 30 years. People will, as soon as you put a lead on a dog, that becomes a negative reinforcement, a negative correction. As soon as you put a lead on a dog, that's a negative punishment.
Exactly.
If it does something wrong or right. And so technically, but yes, we want to make dogs enjoy their training, and we want to make dogs have a great time and have a great relationship with them. But for goodness me, we can't be ignorant and we can't be arrogant. We must be educated and we must use tools when necessary in the correct method. I think, gentlemen, that's the way that I basically train my dogs.
Steve loved it. I've just sent you a Facebook friends request. I hope you accept.
Yeah. I don't know about you after the way which you described.
Honor and honor and joy, I will, Dima. Honor and joy.
Look, guys, I am so honored to talk to you. I mean, I just can't keep in my mouth. I just can't even. We are having such enjoyment, but we're running out of time. So let's take a break, and when we come back, I maybe finally address the question how Vladi would correct that dumb lap, and we maybe finally get that caller. You know. That's three trainers. We got together. We just cannot shut up. Where's my vodka, Doc?